picked off or bitten off what I have to chew, because not every scripture is really easy, and certainly some of these teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount are not easy. So they need to be understood. They need to be understood in context, in a cultural context, and also in a contemporary context of what Jesus was trying to share. So we're at another passage. I told you we're kind of got three parts in a section right in the middle of chapter 5, where Jesus is going to, he's saying some things that is going to make a radical difference. It's a radical difference in what people understood and how people lived and related in their everyday life. So it's a radical difference for our everyday lives as well. And I was just thinking about that title that I picked out, where the radical difference Jesus makes in everyday living, and how can it be relevant to us today in this ultra-modern society that we live in and all that's going on. But you know, honestly, more than ever, with such a society that has the propensity and has the practicality of being polarized and in tension and in conflict, if there's any group that needs to kind of go against the norm, kind of swim upstream, kind of is noticeable by the difference in their behavior and how they act and how they interact, it's followers of Jesus Christ. It's Christ followers. Is Christians, with all the stuff that goes on in our country. And I could kind of get off on that, but I know I'm not going to. It's not the purpose or intent. But the intent is that we, as we claim the name of Jesus on our lives, we've got to be different. We've got to show the rest of the world that there is a difference. There is a difference in respect to love for your fellow man, for love for God, for respect, for dignity, for kindness. I mean, I'm not preaching on the fruit of the Spirit, but the evidence of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the witness yesterday in the Bible study, the witness of the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Well, if there's any evidence and witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, it should be the fruit that the Spirit produces in us, which is, number one, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wow. So that's kind of in the umbrella of Jesus teaching on some practical behavioral issues, some practical ways that his followers, he's teaching the Sermon on the Mount, all this crowd, and specifically zeroing into his disciples, because it's relatively new in his ministry. Here's a new interpretation of the cultural norm that you've been living by for hundreds of years. Jesus shows up and says, I'm going to tell you what the true intent and heart of Almighty God is. Now, Jesus, He's either being very presumptuous, arrogant, and out of his mind, or he's speaking literally for God the Father as God the Son. And those listening had to decide. Well, with that, let's turn in Matthew 5 and look at this next section. This is kind of part two. And just for Brother Dennis's sake and those who are on the watching on YouTube, and I check it out every week when Brother Dennis posts it, and I always see that I'm looking way up. I'm looking at people, and I apologize for those of you who are watching on the YouTube, because I'm not looking down there anymore like we used to when no one was here. But now I've got folks here. So I want you to understand and kind of follow along as well as we go through this. And for Brother Dennis's sake, this message, we'll just call it Don't Retaliate. So I've given it away at the very beginning, but let's read what Jesus said in this next difficult section. Boy, as I studied this week, I thought, you know, I thought what Jesus taught on murder, adultery, and divorce was difficult. But this part's really, really difficult when he talks about not resisting evil in an evil way, not resisting with retaliation, but turning the other cheek. This is hard stuff. Let's see if we can understand it and see if we can step into it and see what the power of the Holy Spirit in us can help us do in way to fulfill what Jesus said. So it begins in verse 38 of Matthew chapter 5. We're almost finished with this first chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew's Gospel. But again, Jesus starts with his authoritative declaration by beginning, and he repeats this every time he goes into a new kind of issue. He made sure that those who are listening, the crowd and the disciples, understand that in Jesus' mind, he has the authority to properly interpret the law that God gave to Moses and to all of Israel. And the difference now that he brings, that Jesus brings, like no other, he didn't come say, okay, now I want you all to understand, I'm the Son of God, so I have the authority to give you a different interpretation that will be different than what you've been taught for the last 1,000 years. He didn't go about it that way. He simply said, you know, you've heard it said long ago. That means when Jesus says that, every single time he enters one of these difficult issues, he's saying, here's what you've been taught by the religious leaders and the religious rulers for probably 1,500 years. At least 1,000 years, you've been taught that this is the way you're to relate. But I'm here to tell you that falls short of what God's heart is and the full intention of God the Father. And he didn't actually say those words, but he says, but I tell you, and it was left up to those who are listening to have faith that this itinerant teacher, preacher from Galilee was speaking with such authority that he could reinterpret the entire norm of what they had been taught for hundreds of years. So let's see what these issues, what Jesus says. You've been taught, that you've heard it was said long ago. Here's the law. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. An eye for eye, and I'm going to explain that because it's found in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, the law, the Torah. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, a living principle by which we relate in society, by which we go by and hold people legally responsible in the Old Testament. Eye for eye, tooth. But I tell you, okay, I'm going to tell you something different. It's not in God's full intent of a perfect world, of what God's design is for mankind's interaction with mankind. It's not eye for eye and tooth for tooth. In fact, I tell you, do not resist. Now, NIV says, do not resist an evil person. The Greek simply says, do not oppose evil, and it leaves the verb blank. Well, other than oppose, it leaves the adverb, whether it's do not oppose evil with evil, or when evil comes, do not oppose it in the way that you've been taught to oppose it. We all have to oppose. We oppose evil. We're not for evil. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just read what he says, and then we'll come to it. Here's a practical way to indicate that you have a heart of God, that your intent, the intent of the one who follows God, is not to have a heart to retaliate, a mind and heart to retaliate. For when someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to them the other also. I don't like that. I really don't like that part. And he goes on with three other practical applications. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, or meaning your coat, your inner coat, let him have your cloak as well. Let him have your outer cloak as well. The coat was kind of like the personal garment that you wore next to your skin. That cloak was something you needed to protect yourself from weather and from cold. Give them both. I don't like that. Give anything to anybody who sues you. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them too. I'll explain the cultural context of that. Roman occupation. It was a legal requirement for any Israelite sequestered by a Roman soldier to carry that Roman soldier's weapons or whatever, bags or garments or food or what, for at least a mile. And Jesus said, we're going to go beyond what's required. We're going to show a radical difference in society. So you go, don't just go a mile, go two. And the third practical example says, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Oh my goodness. So I want to take that literally, and I know that Dale follows the Word of God explicitly. So Dale, I need about $50,000. If you write me a check by the end of the service today, you got cash. That's even better, bro. What does Jesus mean? What does Jesus mean? First of all, let's look. I really want you to understand that Jesus comes revealing the full heart of God, the full intent. Genesis to Malachi is a written revelation of God, but it's not complete, the complete revelation of God. Even Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Torah, the sacred first five books of the Hebrew Scriptures, and all of what it contains, is not the full revelation of the heart and mind and character and being of Almighty God. It's a progressive unfolding of who God is, from the Torah to the history to the writings to the prophets. The full revelation of the true mind, heart, and character of Almighty God, complete and total, came when a baby was born in Bethlehem, and they named him Jesus, the Son, only begotten of the Father, born of a virgin, came to reveal the Father and become our salvation. But, so he has the authority. If we turn to Exodus, if I had the PowerPoint, I'd put these up here, but just listen, and you don't have to spend time trying to find these scriptures. Exodus 21, 24, 23 and 24. But if there is serious injury, you are to take life for life. Listen, here's what this is Exodus. This is what the law that Moses understood he received from God as he's trying to coagulate the children of Israel into a community that's safe and law-abiding and has structure and has compensation and has peace and equality. Moses receives from what he understands as God's nature. If there is serious injury among anyone, if anyone causes serious injury to anyone else, you're to take a life for life. If someone causes the death of someone else, then they've got to die. Whoever caused the death has to die also. Life for life. Eye for eye. Verse 24, reading. This is official Old Testament Hebrew law. Eye for eye. Life for life. Tooth for tooth. You knock someone in the mouth and they lose their tooth, then you have to get knocked in the mouth and look until your tooth is lost. Hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn. If you're the cause of someone being burned, then you've got to be burned to the extent of which you caused them to be burned. Brutal, ancient, almost sounds barbaric, Old Testament law. Bruise for bruise. You lose your temper, you haul off and whack somebody, and they causes a bruise, then they get to haul off and whack you. You know what? From Exodus, that's when Moses first gave it, then the elaboration of it takes place in Leviticus. Listen to this. It's a further elaboration of the original eye for eye law, life for life. If anyone takes the life of a human being, he must be put to death. Whoever takes that life must be put to death. No questions asked, no circumstance, no mitigating circumstances, this was situational kind of thing. No, you took the life, whatever you did caused the death of someone, then you have to die. Anyone who takes the life of someone's animal must make restitution. Life for life, equal compensation. If anyone injures his neighbor, whatever he has done must be done to him. This is rough stuff. This Old Testament law. We don't know this culture. This is ancient Hebrew Old Testament cult, Middle Eastern Semitic culture. And it was very real. And it was very harsh. And it was very much upheld. It was very much enforced. If anyone injures his neighbor, whatever he has done must be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has injured the other, so he must be injured. Whoever kills an animal must make restitution, but whoever kills a man must be put to death. You are to have the same law for the alien, that means the stranger, not someone coming from outer space, that's the Hebrew way of saying someone who's a foreigner that comes into the land, the law applies to them. And your law applies if you injure them. And the native born, I am the Lord your God, sealed with I am the Lord your God. There's kind of a couple of reasons. Number one, children of Israel were very, very much in the embryonic stage of becoming a nation of people. They haven't even formed that yet. In fact, they're having trouble being in community. They're a loose-knit confederation of loose-knit tribes, and there was tribal loyalty. So a part of this is trying to create a strong structure to hold them together in a most severe way to create civility in their community of 12 different tribes. Also, it was a way of preventing severity, believe it or not. Believe it or not, if someone injured someone, then the someone who is injured would desire to retaliate in an excessive way to that person who injured them. And so, as harsh as it sounds, it was a preventive from, okay, if you bruised me, I'm going to kill you. No, that's not what the law allows. You can only retaliate with, or you can only be compensated with what injury was inflicted upon you. Nothing more. Nothing less, but nothing more. So there was some kind of civility to it as well, because people back in, this is like 1250 BC. That's 1250 years before Christ was even born. We can't even conceptualize what life was like in a brutal kind of Semitic nomadic existence of ancient culture. But it was real. So, in the midst of that, 1250 years later, after 1,000 years of teaching this or more to the people, Jesus shows up. You know, it's the same thing. I'm going to digress just a little bit. It's really, you remember a couple of three Sundays ago when we did the whole thing on adultery and the people and the religious leaders and the men tried to trip Jesus up. They tried to catch Jesus in violation of the law when they threw the adulterous woman at his feet. Because the law, absolutely, you could read in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, and it repeats Deuteronomy, is simply the second law. It's a summary of all of the first law. Saying the same thing in summary form, says she should be stoned to death. That's the law. That is the law. There's no getting around it. There's no debating it. There's no, you know, giving evidentiary consequences or circumstances to the situation to let her off? No. And Jesus interrupted that. He interrupted that whole thing. That's what Jesus comes, shows up with a radical difference. Here's the radical difference. People said, well, Jesus abolished the law. Jesus didn't abolish one single thing about the law. Jesus took the heart and mind and intent of God and those who would belong to God and be indwelt by God and move us further beyond what the law requires. It would go beyond the law. You know, if you hate your brother, it's murder in your heart. If you look with lust, that's adultery in your heart. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. No, we're going to go beyond that. We're going to... Jesus, in a society of followers that are my disciples, that have my life put upon them, and where they become what I've designed or what I desire with understanding the heart and mind of God will go far beyond what's required by the law. It's going to show a radical difference. Followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus is saying, are not to engage in a literal fight with an evil person or against evil. The Greek leaves it kind of open, which I'm glad in this case. Do not, thou shalt not oppose evil. What does that mean? We know Jesus opposed evil. So, in fact, one commentator said that probably a better interpretation is you should not oppose evil with evil. Don't become evil yourself in seeking to oppose evil. Followers of Jesus Christ fight against evil. Look at all the writings of Paul. We fight against evil with the armor, the full armor of God and prayer. It's a different manner. It's a different way. That goes beyond. The law said somebody inflicts evil upon you, the legal requirement of the Old Testament says you get to inflict evil back among them. Full equal compensation. However they harmed you, you get to harm them in equal fashion. Jesus says, no, that's not how it's going to work in my kingdom. In my kingdom, you're not going to retaliate in equal fashion against someone who has harmed or hurt you. You're going to turn your other cheek. You're going to forgive them. You're going to pray for them. Whoa, that's different. That's radical. That's way different than what we've been taught. Followers of Jesus Christ, we can read Ephesians 6, where he talks about the full armor of God. In fact, there's just the way that's set up by Paul really speaks. It applies directly to this issue. Listen, I just want to share with you this. What Paul said, here's how he set up the putting on the full armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Listen to this carefully. So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Listen to this. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Remember, I taught on this. I preached on this several weeks ago. So when we're hurt, or we're persecuted, or people hit us, in a sense, verbally, or even physically, or, character-wise, or whatever they do to try to inflict pain upon us, it's really the evil one who's working through. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against alive human beings. It's against the evil one who's simply using people who are ignorant or unassuming as instruments of his evil activity. So don't hate people. Hate the devil. It's the devil's schemes. Now this is deep stuff. This is different. Paul understood. That's why Paul completes the New Testament in helping us understand even the Gospels. He goes on. We wrestle against rulers and against authorities and against powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. So there's spiritual forces of evil all around us. How do we fight it? Every time we're hurt or persecuted, we inflict pain back in equal compensation like the Old Testament? No, that's a partial understanding. That was very primitive in respect to trying to bring a people into some kind of discipline and order and peaceful community. Law abiding. No, we go beyond. We pray for them. We call upon the name of Jesus. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. Resist the evil one, and he will flee from you. The standard common lawsuit of Jesus, even Jesus' day, was this, you know, I'll sue you for your coat. And that was a legal right for one citizen to sue another citizen. And people didn't have currency. They had livestock. They had, but your coat, the thing that you put next to your body, was a very personal, valuable item. So I'll sue you for that. You've got to give me your coat. Jesus said, you know, give them the outer garment as well. Just give them the outer garment as well. Okay, that's going to be it. There's going to be a witness, a testimony. But Lord, they're taking advantage of me. Look, do we trust God to take care of us and to take care of the situation? Or are we going to try to do it ourselves? We're going to try to manage our lives ourselves. Well, this Roman soldier, you know, I got a legal, it's a legal, our religious rulers made a contract with the Roman occupied soldiers that any soldier who requires an Israelite, who gets an Israelite and conscripts an Israelite to carry his gear, he's got to go 1 mile. Go two, Jesus said. Do above and beyond. Go above and beyond what is required. That's above and beyond the law. Show them the love of God. Show them the giving of God. When someone comes to you and they're in need and they want to borrow something from you or they ask you for something, use the wisdom of God and give. Trust God for the compensation. Now, I want to make one thing clear. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus say that we can't defend ourselves if someone's trying to kill us or trying to harm our family. Nowhere does Jesus say we got to just stand there and let them kill us. No, he doesn't say that. That's taking kind of a leap of logic to an application that doesn't apply in this particular passage of Scripture. Nor does Jesus say that we have to just suffer abuse. He never says that we are not to help protect the innocent and helpless. In fact, over in James says in his letter that the real fundamental true religion is protecting, taking care of widows and orphans. So if someone's trying to abuse or harm or misuse or take advantage of widows and orphans, the Scripture says you step in. You be the protagonist to help defend those who are helpless and innocent. And you don't have to suffer abuse. Jesus never said, stay there and just take it. Step out of the situation. The point of what Jesus is saying is there's a worldview that's the norm of society, even Hebrew society, Israelite society. And that is, whatever happens to you, you're to be equally compensated. Wrong for wrong, life for life, possession for possession, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And Jesus said, I'm coming to tell you that the heart and mind of God and those who would be called my followers are going to go beyond that. And we're going to turn the other cheek. We're going to give instead of retaliate. And the true heart and mind of God says, you do not fight back because someone has hurt you. You do not hurt back. How many times have you and me, I don't know about you, I'll speak for me. How many times we've all been hurt? We may not have been hit physically, but you know, sometimes I had rather have them hit me physically than say some of the things that people have said or that have hurt my feelings. Sometimes, and so what is my response as a believer in Christ? I'm a Christian. You know, people always say, well, you're a Christian pastor. Well, yeah, we have a higher standard perhaps, but all of us are Christians and we have the standard of Christ. What higher standard is that? So when we're hurt, our natural inclination is want to hurt back. I want to get even. I'll tell you right now, I'll confess, there's times I want to get even. I want to see those folks that hurt me. I want to see them hurt. Well, that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to hurt people back. That's exactly what Jesus is saying his followers do not do. The Sermon on the Mount, the practical principles of everyday living when you're a follower of Jesus Christ present a radical difference than what normal society does. We don't hurt back. We don't retaliate. We don't demand equal compensation. We go the second mile. We turn the other cheek. We carry their load. And it's even going to get more radical next Sunday because he's going to say things like, love your enemies. Come on, really? Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who say all manner of evil against you. Okay, I'll go the second mile, but I'm not going to love that Roman soldier. Folks, the problem is society, we haven't got their attention because we don't live a whole lot different than they do. When we start living a whole lot different than normal society lives and acting different and stop retaliating and demanding equal compensation and hurt back when we've been hurt, maybe they'll say, wait, what makes you so different? Why don't you get angry and why don't you get mad and why don't you hit back and why don't you hurt back and why don't you say all manner of evil things about those who've said stuff against you? Well, because I belong to Jesus and that's not his life. That's not his way. That's not his way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. This is not the way of Jesus Christ, nor of those who claim him as Savior and Lord. It is hard to trust God to take care of us and to take care of those who have offended or hurt us. It is hard to pray for our enemies. It is hard to do what is redemptive, like help those who have hurt you. Oh my goodness, that's a radical difference. That's a radical difference. That's not how the world acts, but that's how Jesus acts. Because he hurt, we hurt him originally. And he came to die for us. Doesn't get any more radical than that. Lord, thank you for your words. They're hard. They're harsh sometimes, Lord, but in truth, when we belong to you and we've crucified the flesh and we allow your spirit to flow freely through us, Lord Jesus, let us be truly salt and light in this earth. That's a part of what being salt and light is, to see the difference, the radical difference Jesus makes in everyday living, in everyday lives, in our lives. Lord, begin in my life. And help me not ever have a spirit of retaliation. That's what I feel like I want to do, the natural thing to do, but oh God, we've got so far to go to let our lives reflect you, Lord. You stood before the Sanhedrin and they slapped you in your face. They abused you. They said all manner of lies about you. And the Roman soldiers whipped you. And you turned the other cheek. There is no spirit of retaliation. You made your way to the cross so we might be forgiven. Thank you, Jesus. Let your forgiving spirit in us exude to those who might inflict pain, whether intentional or by accident. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing our closing song. What did I do with my paper? It's 461. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Amen, amen, amen.